from KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those big swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Let's go.
On a Thursday night, we welcome you in. It's time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, albeit a shortened edition of the program. Have you for the next 22 minutes, taking you till 6:30. That's when we will step aside and get set for Thursday night football matchup tonight. Pittsburgh on the road against Cleveland. Siteman Cancer Center game time is 7:15, so we'll get about 45 minutes pregame in before we get to kickoff tonight here on KMOX. We do have an interview this evening, as tomorrow the St. Louis University women's soccer team plays their second matchup in the NCAA women's soccer tournament, as they're going to match up against USC, and their coach Katie Shields is going to join us coming up in just a little while. A couple things I want to get to here in this first segment before we get to Coach Shields. First off, the news is out. The MVPs have been named in baseball. No surprise. Maybe the only surprise is they're both unanimous. Aaron Judge wins his second MVP on the American League side of things, winning one unanimously for the first time. And then Shohei Ohtani, he is the National League MVP, the unanimous selection, as he wins unanimously for a third time, which is pretty incredible. So that is the news of the day. It's as these awards get named, it's kind of the final pieces of the previous season as we continue to get set for the next off season, which technically we're in, but you get the idea of what I'm saying, that we're trying to get what happened this past year completely in the past. All right, I want to talk a little Blues hockey before we do get out of here, though, because they've got an interesting matchup tonight. And it's not a must-win because the date is November 21st and they're not buried in the standings. But in many ways, it is they really need to win this one, or really should win this one, or it would go a long way if they can win this game, because they match up against a not very good San Jose team. Not very good in the sense that they don't have a very good record. They're 6-11-4. I think if you dig in on the Sharks a little bit, maybe they're better than that record would indicate. They play games pretty tight, but they don't have a ton of talent. They don't have a lot of wins. Like, this is when things are not going well for you. Blues have lost 6 of 7. That is the dictionary definition of things not going well for you. When things are not going well for you, and you've got a team like San Jose coming into your building, you need to win that game, and that's where they're at going into this one tonight. Drew Bannister spoke with the media earlier today after morning skate, talked a little bit about the mindset going into this game tonight.
We have to have the mindset of playing to win those games, and I think with our confidence, we're sitting back waiting for things good to happen for us, and we got to push forward here and play to win. When we're in those situations, those one goal games, those tie games, we got to push through that and find ways. And once we do, I think our confidence is going to build, and the bounces will start to go our way. But we got to work for them.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. That has been what I've been asking to hear from Drew Bannister. And the reason I kind of take issue here is because if you remember the other night when they ended up losing to Buffalo, it was a tie game late and Jordan Kyrou stayed off the ice. And I get, a few games earlier, there had been a number of things that happened with Kyrou late in games that had led to goals being scored by the opponent. But after that game, I talked about this a lot, I don't want to relitigate it too much, but after that game, Bannister talked about how they were just trying to get the point and get to overtime. And I really hated that mentality of not going for the win, but trying to preserve yourself for the point and openly saying that. So I had to chuckle a little bit when this is what he's saying today.
And play to win. When we're in those situations, those one goal games, those tie games,
play to win. When you're in those situations, those one goal games, those tie games, 4 days ago, however long it was, 6 days ago, he's sitting there saying that they were playing for the tie at the end of the game, trying to make sure that they preserve a point. This, what he said today, is what he needs to say. I continue to believe that was just a really bad look from Drew Bannister the other day, talking about trying to preserve the point, even if that's what you're doing. You can't say that. It just creates this culture of not going for the win. So I was I had to laugh about it because it's the opposite of what he said. I mean, I can play those two things back to back, and you can hear him say literally the opposite thing. One day he's saying they were trying to preserve the point, or the next day they're saying even in a tie game, you got to go for the win. Like, those are as diametrically opposed as anything can possibly be. I much prefer the message that he gave earlier today, and I hope he goes ahead and sticks with that moving forward. I mentioned the fact that this is a San Jose team that, from a record standpoint, not great, but from a body of work standpoint, a little bit better, and he seemingly would agree with that.
They're a team that's always in it. Like, they're a relentless team. They never find themselves out of games. You look at the game last night, it's 3-2 late in the game. They have a lot of belief in the room, and they're playing hard. And, they look up at the score clock, and they're, down by 20 shots, and maybe it's a 1-0 game. That they're very comfortable playing in those games, So it's important for us tonight to make sure that we stick with our game and stay on script.
Yes, that's Drew Bannister speaking. Again, the Blues matched up tonight against San Jose, and we'll see if they can come away with a victory. Puck drop in about 45 minutes over at the Enterprise Center. By the way, of note, the Sluman soccer team, they are in action this evening at home. We talked with their coach, Kevin Kalish, yesterday, as they are going to be in action this evening against Kansas City, and that's going to be a 7 o'clock start over at Herman Stadium. So you've got lots of sports options if you're looking for something to do this evening. Tomorrow, the SLU women's soccer team, they are on the road against USC. They are out west trying to continue their run in the NCAA tournament. Coach Katie Shields joins us next here on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Not a little early today for Thursday Night Football, but before we get out of here, we absolutely need to talk with Coach Katie Shields. She is the head women's soccer coach at St. Louis University as they are getting ready for their second NCAA tournament matchup. They are going to play at USC coming up tomorrow evening, and Coach joins us right now. Coach, appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go any further, let's look back at what happened in the first matchup when you guys knock off Kansas 1-0. And we talked about Emily Gaby the last time we had you on. She scores her school record tying 16th goal of the season, matching her own record. I mean, somebody scoring 16 goals in a season 2 years in a row, I got to think in all of women's college soccer, it's a fairly short list. That doesn't happen very often.
It is. She's, even nationally, she's one of the unique 50 goals in her career, 20 assists. I mean, she's one of one when it comes to that mark for us as a program. So we're excited to have her and excited to keep playing with her.
Take me through that matchup, because the goal was scored rather early, and then you guys had to hold that 1-0 lead for a very long time.
We did, and we had three really great chances. Emily got in the second minute, had a great look at the goal, put it over. She almost had an assist to Hannah Larson a few minutes later, and then the third of our really good chances was the one we scored on. And the tide shifted a bit from there, and as playoff soccer does, every game's a little unpredictable, but getting that early goal, being out on the front foot, I think really helped us. And then obviously being at home, hanging on with a home crowd helped. But for us, thrilled to get the result, What an incredible way to cap this current seniors group time at Herman Stadium at home. And then, you know, excited now to test ourselves again on the road coming up tomorrow.
Couple interesting things with this matchup against USC. First off, these are the only one loss teams left in the entire NCAA tournament, and now they're going to match up against each other. So obviously this is a very high level matchup.
It is, you know, you could, and I think both of us are, you know, we've tested ourselves throughout the season. We found a ton of success. We're very different in the way we find our success. So it's an exciting matchup. We have not played each other, you know, at least my time at SLU. So it's going to be a fantastic game. And I think the team that plays the sharpest 90 minutes will get to play on to the next round.
These two programs have never seen each other. This is the first time ever matchup between SLU and USC. Does that matter? I mean, I know you like to have some familiarity, but at this point you can't expect that, right?
Yeah, exactly. When you get into the second, third, later rounds of the NCAA tournament, you know, you're playing, geography doesn't matter. It was nice to have some familiarity against Kansas, but I think this is an exciting test, and obviously they are a top seed within our bracket. And so it's, you know, I always say you want to be the best, we got to beat the best. So it's a great chance for us to do so.
What have you, when you look at them on film, what jumps out at you?
Oh yeah. They're the Big Ten champions for a reason. They're the number one seed for a reason. They've got talent and quality at every position. They're very, very patient in the way they play the game. They like to have the soccer ball. They like to keep the soccer ball. And, you know, I think the other piece about them is their experience. They're old. It's a, you know, and typically most successful teams are older in college sports. And so, but so are we, you know, we are old. We like to attack. And so, we do go about the game a little bit differently at times, but it should be a pretty entertaining matchup. You know, again, if we are our best selves on Friday.
This is probably a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. They are playing in the game is going to be played somewhere that they've never played before, this great park in Irvine. If you're going to match up against somebody and they've got home advantage, but they're playing somewhere they've never played before, does that maybe limit the home advantage a little bit?
You know, maybe less of a crowd, right? Like maybe it doesn't travel as well for them, a home crowd, but credit to USC. I mean, they've earned themselves a one seed and they have not played a single home game all season because they're renovating their stadium. So this isn't unfamiliar territory for them. You know, we've traveled time zones. We've got our feet under us, but you know, I think the neutral site, it is maybe a slight advantage, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to make that big of an impact on the outcome of the game.
Take me through kind of the itinerary when you guys got in, what the plan is. Do you try to keep this the same as just any other road matchup? Are you able to do that? What is this trip like?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. You know, I think we have routines. We have them well established over, you know, the last decade. We've been really trying to work on making sure we're sharp in them. You know, yesterday we were fortunate to get out here a day earlier than we typically would. So to travel out here, we weren't able to check into the hotel because we landed at the time we landed. So we actually got to take our women out to the beach, Newport Pier, and let them, some of them have never seen the Pacific Ocean. A few of them got in it. And so that was a kind of a cool opportunity, and get them moving, you know, get them out in the sun right away. And then today will be a very much just a day of preparation. You know, we'll have breakfast, we'll train, we'll watch a little bit of video on USC. And then tomorrow is very much our structured routine, kind of a walkthrough, a scout, and then a play. So we don't veer from our routines too much because they give us a lot of success and comfort. But it's also cool to be in a different place than we've been. And we've have our whole roster here with us, which is also tremendous.
Last thing for you, just kind of off the beaten path a little bit, but since you mentioned it, we're living in a world right now in college athletics where there's so much focus on conference realignment and name, image, likeness and all these things, and I'm not trying to run away from that, but when you mentioned a kid getting able to see the ocean for the first time, like at some point, we got to remember that college athletics is also about the student-athlete experience, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously it is what it is. We're in the modern era of all of these elements, but I think, you know, our women, what they will remember and what, you know, will carry them, not just into their professional lives, but their personal lives too, are some of those experiences, right? Getting able to be in the Pacific Ocean with your people that you've kind of lived with, your family for 5 years, 4 years. You know, I also think that the reason we've been able to attain the success we've attained is an incredible amount of loyalty and commitment from our women. And it has nothing to do with all those other, you know, shiny objects out there for college athletes this day. They're committed to the people. They're committed to the ideals and the values that our program embodies. And so, again, I think it's why we have such a special program and a special place to play college soccer, because while we do have a world-class environment and things to offer our women, it's really about the environment and the people that is our recipe for success.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck coming up tomorrow night. What a great story, and have a lot of fun, and hopefully we're talking to you again very, very soon.
Thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate you having me.
That's Coach Katie Shields joining us on the program. Again, her soccer team is going to match up against USC coming up tomorrow evening, and hopefully they do well and come up with a victory. And then second match, if they win, they would then take on the winner of Virginia and Wisconsin, as those two teams are going to play coming up tomorrow as well. Yeah, look, women's soccer is obviously different than college football and men's basketball and even women's basketball and volleyball in some programs and some markets. But it is always something that I struggle, because the name, image, likeness stuff, I think, is great. I think college kids getting paid is great when the universities are making so much money and when coaches are making so much money. But I can never get totally away from the student athlete experience. I still think that's important for 18 to 22 year olds going to college, and we've forgotten about that in recent years, and it bums me out sometimes that college athletes have changed. I think the positive outweighs the negatives when it comes to what these student athletes are going to get now. This is not an anti NIL rant or anything like that. I think if you listen to me enough, you know I'm not like that. But I just, when she mentioned the fact that she had some kids who had never seen the ocean before and they got to see it, that took me back to, these are 18 to 22 year olds, and the student athlete experience when it comes to college athletics, I still think, always matters. So I'm glad I got to talk about that for just a moment before we get out of here. All right, that is going to do it for the program. We've got Thursday night football tonight. Interesting matchup this evening. On paper, honestly, doesn't look great, because you've got a 2-8 Cleveland Browns team playing host to an 8-2 Pittsburgh Steelers team. But the Steelers are coming off a really big win against the Ravens this past weekend, where they got 6 field goals. This kind of feels a little bit like a trap game. You know, the Steelers had not been, the Ravens had been favored to win the division, not the Steelers, even though the Steelers have had a better record than the Ravens here recently. But now the Steelers are in position. I don't know. They're going to play the Browns next. The Steelers are. And then they have the Eagles and the Ravens. So their games after this one tonight: Bengals, Browns, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. That's the rest of the schedule. That's a really tough schedule for Pittsburgh. And in some ways, this feels like a trap game going on the road to Cleveland, a team that's underachieved but has more talent than the 2-8 record would indicate. The point spread is actually 3.5 for Pittsburgh, which I think generally, if you have an 8-2 team against a 2-8 team, even if it's at the 2-8 team's place, more often than not, that spread's a little bit bigger. So I think people are seeing what I'm seeing on this one, that maybe it's going to be more of a game than you might expect it to be just off the records. That is, though, going to do it for this edition of Graybar Sports Open Line. We are back tomorrow night. We've got a lot coming up on the program tomorrow evening, so we'll talk to you then, 6 to 8, right here on KMOX.